Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode, Nick Keyser here with you on this Wednesday morning. And as we do every Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com. PK, good morning. How you doing?
I'm great, guys. How are you?
Awesome, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. What were your takeaways from DeAndre Hopkins yesterday at his introductory press conference, and what did you make of, I guess, his approach of trying to attack the "I don't like to practice" narrative yesterday?
He brought a cool energy, you know. Thought he's what you'd expect. The "I don't like to practice," I thought, you know, handled it well. You know, basically said it came about with Bill O'Brien when, as part of Bill O'Brien's excuse for a ridiculous trade to Arizona, which most of us rate is one of the worst of our NFL lifetimes. And, you know, he's obviously going to get veteran days off, like a lot of guys at his age do. But, you know, the big question is how much work he can do soon, because he's got to get rapport down with Ryan Tannehill. And I think in a different way, I mean, he's not a big separation guy, right? He's a contested ball guy more than anything. And being in the right place to create those windows is a different kind of animal. And they're going to need a lot of work and a lot of time to get that stuff down. So, you know, any extensive time off for that, and they've already said he's going to have a couple days off here because he had something scheduled, which maybe suggests he didn't expect to be signing, you know, before camp. The more they could get out of him, obviously, the better.
All right, PK, I asked seriously because I seriously still don't know exactly what happened here. Can you give us an abridged version of your texting with fake DeAndre Hopkins and Pretty Boy Kelly?
Yeah, it's not that complicated. It's just incredibly stupid by me. You know, I work hard to find guys' phone numbers in circumstances like this. That was, you know, certain I had a number that belonged to DeAndre Hopkins, and texted to see if he'd be willing to talk to me. He said he was with family and could we text? We texted a little bit, and it faded out after just a little bit, which is not uncommon with professional athletes. I did have a question that I was going to ask him there to you know, double check that it was him, but we didn't get that far. The quotes were pretty innocuous. I've got to do a better job being absolutely certain that it's him. But I tweeted out what that gentleman told me, and then about a half hour from Lexington, taking my kid to his final baseball tournament of the year, I got a DM from DeAndre Hopkins basically saying, "Where'd this come from? We didn't talk." And I shared the phone number with him, and he said, "Yeah, that hasn't been my phone number for a while. I'd be happy to talk to you if you take that down." I obviously took it down, then tried to negotiate with him to not look like such a fool by having new comments from the actual DeAndre Hopkins. Found his, after we petered out on DM, I actually found his actual number, and talked a little bit more there, but I couldn't get him to talk. And so then I had to write the horrible, gut-wrenching piece that I had gotten duped, and get everybody in the country to comment on what a terrible journalist I am.
So look, I ask real fast. That wasn't very abridged, by the way. That's okay. I ask because, like, this is just this could happen to anyone. This is not, to me, not a big deal. I mean, you got catfish. I've just never heard of this before. Like, you got catfish by someone with with someone's number, and they actually played along with it. I mean, I don't know. Do you know of a story like that?
No, I mean, I agree it could happen to anybody, but that doesn't matter when people are commenting and evaluating your journalistic standards from afar. And so there are a bunch of articles out there about me and mine, and so it's tough to swallow, and I got to take the bullet and issue my apologies. I apologize to him. I apologize to his people. I sought him out yesterday when he left the podium and introduced myself and apologized again. And, you know, I've done everything I could to make it right. So, you know, tried to, you know, I don't know that a lot of people are swinging for him. And I pride myself on getting guys in those circumstances. And in this circumstance, I came up short in a bad way. And now maybe Tim Kelly's going to be known as Pretty Boy Kelly as a result.
Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. Paul, how do you view the quarterback situation heading into camp with Malik Willis making strides, as Vrabel talked about yesterday as well? I guess, how much better, clearly better, do you think he has to be than Will Levis heading into camp to win the backup spot? And what's your chances, as we sit here today, they're keeping three quarterbacks on the 53?
If he wins the backup spot, it's a really bad development for Will Levis. I mean, you know, Will Levis isn't coming in like Malik Willis was from a small school where he's running a one-read-and-go offense and everything. I mean, the whole case for Will Levis, not just for the Titans but for the league, was the offense he's coming out of and the people he'd work with, if not last year, the year before at Kentucky. Having played with some legitimate linemen and, you know, Wandale Robinson, et cetera, et cetera. Willis has been better, was better through the offseason, but better than a terrible standard that he set for himself. So, if it trends the wrong way for Levis, Levis would force them into a situation to keep three. Willis could become too valuable a commodity, so to speak, to let go. And then it's about the roster, too. You know, how healthy are you? How much can you afford to keep a guy who's not going to play? I mean, if it's clear that you'd have to play Willis as your second quarterback, then Levis is forcing your hand. It's a complicated scenario. But ideally, you don't want to keep three quarterbacks unless you're totally thinking that it's a one-year thing and that next year they're your one and two, and that you're just taking a one-year kind of roster hit at the position in exchange for that. I think there's a lot of time to sort that out. But Levis, you know, I wrote this after OTAs, but we should be talking about Levis in comparison to Tannehill. Not 11-year Tannehill, but, you know, Tannehill in one shape, some way, shape, or form, not in comparison to Willis after what he did last year. So it was a disappointing spring and summer for him, obviously. There weren't enough flashes of the things that made them trade up to get him. And we need to see a lot more of him this next month to feel Willis does.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying for sure on Levis. I do. It is interesting, PK, like on and off the record, some, you know, more conversation about Willis's improvement. Vrabel lavished some praise on him yesterday. Like, we were talking about this earlier. How much better did you think he was just from watching him with the naked eye in the spring?
I see, that's another thing that I think got kind of thrown out. He was better, you know, incrementally better, but because we were comparing him to Levis and Levis would, it kind of got overblown, like he was great or something, and he wasn't great. I didn't think. I just think because he was comparable to Levis, better than Levis, frankly, not by a lot, but because there was a conversation about Levis and Willis, it made Willis seem, you know, pretty good. I mean, Willis being better than what he was last year, not a big jump to make, right? He played so poorly they had to go get a guy from a practice squad who started ahead of him. But, you know, he's got new coaching and a fresh slate and all of that, and he certainly seemed more efficient. And I think, you know, practice days aren't going to tell us what we need to know about Willis, and that's going to be a tricky thing, too, about how much playing time these two guys get in the three preseason games.
Well, PK, looking forward to training camp getting going today. Looking forward to your coverage as well. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com, our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans as they open up training camp today on the field. Your thoughts on that and more, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, where their advanced pay by TJ option can save you thousands when selling your home. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook, live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. The Titans on the field today at training camp, coming up a little bit later this morning. And by the way, Joe, a move has been made by the Tennessee Titans. Jim Wyatt putting this out there a few minutes ago. They've agreed to terms with safety A.J. Moore. So A.J. Moore was worked out by the Titans yesterday prior to training camp, and they've now agreed to a deal with him. So A.J. Moore spent 4 years with the Houston Texans. He played one game for the Titans last year, and now the 27-year-old coming in as the newest member of the Tennessee Titans today as they head into training camp. So that's another position we've talked about, Joe, beyond the starting two of Kevin Byard and Amani Hooker. What does the safety depth look like? And the Titans adding to that with A.J. Moore coming in as training camp begins today.
Yeah, I wish I would have known about this before putting together my first stupid 53. But I guess you can take – I mean, look, here's my safety group that I have on my first 53. Byard, Hooker, Shaheem Carter, and Mike Brown. Now, yes. Remember, Thompson's non-football injury. I guess it's injury or illness.
Where's Brady Breeze when you need him?
Where is Brady Breeze? That's a good question. But no, that signing definitely makes sense. I mean, that's, again, Molden. Yes, I think he can come back, and actually so could Chris Jackson. Chris Jackson's an interesting guy, by the way, just on a tangent, you know, on his staying power right now that he's healthy. He would have been on the field quite a bit last year. He didn't get hurt.
By the way, Brady Breece with the beloved Detroit Football Lions.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's Titans North, yeah.
So A.J. Moore signed by the Titans heading into training camp. We'll see what that looks like and whether or not he can carve out a spot for himself as training camp begins today. I'm excited to see it today. I mean, as you look at camp, Joe, I still think the number one job in camp for the Titans is to figure out some way to get their offensive line solidified. Like, obviously, yeah. You don't want players hurt, and that goes without saying, but we can't sit here today on Wednesday, July 26th, and predict who's going to get hurt and who's not going to get hurt in training camp. But, like, the number one job that I feel like you need to accomplish if you're Vrabel and the coaching staff is find some way to feel decent about the offensive line you're going to trot out there come opening day against New Orleans.
Yeah, Jared had a good question, by the way, to Vrabel about, you know, just the way practice is now, the way camp is now. Can you see enough, you know, this offensive line? And obviously, there's not going to be a lot of physicality, but Vrabel, you know, had a pretty good answer. It seemed confident they can. I do wonder, you know, like, how much does that matter? Like, when you aren't actually running actual running plays, you know, with people taking people to the ground and completing your block, stuff like that, like, how much does that make evaluations tougher for coaches now than, like, 20 years ago?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, you would think pretty difficult, right? I mean, we talked last year about the battle at right tackle between Petit Frere and Dylan Radins. And, you know, there are practices and games, obviously, in the preseason that you can make evaluations and you can tell. But you'd have to think it's way more difficult now to do that. And look, I'll take that even to Skoronski, right? Like, Skoronski physically, I think, fits everything that you want him to fit to be an NFL player and to be a pretty good NFL player, especially if he's playing at left guard. But we are, and we've talked about this before, everybody just kind of penciling in him being good and that he's ready to go right from the word jump this year and that he's one of your best offensive linemen. And I hope that he is, given where you drafted him. But he's also a rookie. How quickly can he get up to NFL speed? What does the learning curve look like for Peter Skoronski? Because I think they're in a position with their offensive line where they can't really afford for the learning curve to be that long with him.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, no question. And like you said, it's just sort of assumed he's going to be great. Plug him in. We talked about this earlier, but I was a little surprised that Vrabel even allowed, he basically broke it down into phases, excuse me, and said, you know, if we get to the next phase, but he didn't rule out Skoronski working at tackle. Obviously, no. They hope that's not the case. But I think it's so critical that the four guys from left tackle to right guard get some good work, and they're gonna have to get a lot of work with Petit Frere too, by the way. That's an interesting balance for for the Titans during camp. But I mean, I think you get a good look on pass pro, you know, when you have Landry or you have Key this camp. We don't know how much Landry's gonna do.
Yep.
You get a lot of reps where you can kind of see you can see if a guy's really struggling. Again, you go back to like Radizen's rookie camp, it was kind of like who was that? That was who was blowing him up that rookie camp.
It was
oh my gosh,
Ola Danny. That's who it was.
Thank you. Yep. Ola, yes, yeah, who you know, again, he turned out to be a good player, but I mean, that I think you can evaluate. Yeah, I don't know, I mean, run blocking, you're getting to your, you know, you're getting to your landmarks and stuff like that, but it is still different playing real football. And then how much does Vrabel want to play some of these guys in those preseason games? Is it a little more this year?
Yeah, it's a great question. And is it going to be George Fant that comes in at right tackle? Is it going to be someone else? I mean, I do find it interesting that, you know, they worked out A.J. Moore yesterday, Joe, and he's got a deal, and they worked out George Fant over the weekend, and to this point, he still doesn't have a deal with the Titans.
Yeah. I still said, you know what, at some point they're going to have to come back to him, and he makes the most sense of anybody out there, but maybe not. Maybe that means that they feel like they've got it figured out between, you know, Jamarco Jones, Jalen Duncan. I mean, I think those are your top two possibilities that are on the roster now. And both, you know, you got the rookie who I think you have to be real careful there. Because like you said, how many rookies come right in and are excellent? Jack Conklin is the last drafted Titan to be good right away, right?
In terms of on the line, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, offensive lineman. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, all of which is to say, like, Duncan to me, I mean, it'd be probably a great story for them if he was so good in camp and he won that job. I mean, if he wins it, yes. But I think right now, like, the most likely scenario is, like, Jamarco Jones can play and he's okay.
How much of Harold Landry do you think we're going to see early in camp? I mean, we're approaching a full calendar year since he got hurt. I mean, he's not on the PUP list to start camp, so that's good. I mean, that was a positive takeaway that I had when the PUP list came out the other day. So it looks like he's ready to go from that standpoint. I wonder how much of him we'll see and how careful the Titans will be once camp begins.
Yeah, I mean, the timeline suggests you could turn him loose, but I don't think they will at all. I think he'll have probably more missed days than anybody, just to be safe. Again, Vrabel's been big on this all along. I don't think this gets any sort of blame for like the injury issues they've had the last 2 years, so I think it'll stay the same way.
As you look at that position, what sort of depth, and we brought up your 53-man roster earlier, and you had three outside linebackers, and to your point, Denico Autry maybe plays a big part of that, because if you get in trouble, you can line him up on the outside, and he can handle things there for you too. But you know, the three obvious ones are Arden Key, Harold Landry, and Rashad Weaver. I'm interested, can somebody else make a push for a fourth outside linebacker spot there? Or do the Titans view it the same way as a lot of people do, and that is Autry's so versatile, you can move him over there if you really need to?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, that is light, you know? I mean, they've got a lot of options.
Well, we've seen them do that before and go light at that position.
We have. And, you know, they've got a lot of, I think, good position, like bottom of the roster battles at inside linebacker. But I mean, you know, Zach McLeod, I have no idea. I think Nick Suss's 53 had Caleb Murphy making it, rookie Ferris State, UDFA. I mean, that would be great for the Titans for someone like that to be the next Ola Adeni.
Chad on YouTube says AJ Moore again. Was Josh Kalu not answering his phone calls? A.J. Moore must be a total Vrabel guy because he surely hasn't pulled the wool over the eyes of two different general managers. That's from Chad on the text line. Apparently not a big fan of the A.J. Moore signing.
I mean, for how you got him last year, I thought he was okay, you know? I mean, he's not a terrible option. That is a good question, though. Where is Josh Kalu? Is he out there?
Is he with the Lions? I don't know.
It's probably a safe assumption. But, yeah, it's the same sort of idea. They've been trying
to – He's free agent, by the way.
rotate. He's still out there. Yep. Yeah. I mean, hey, guy did some good things in the kicking game here. They could use some of that.
Yeah. I mean, the depth at safety, in all seriousness, like, I feel great about Kevin Byard being healthy, but I don't feel great about Imani Hooker being healthy. So what does that look like in terms of what they want to do, and how much depth can you actually acquire there? And then to your point, Joe, how does Elijah Molden factor into all this? Is he the third safety truly when it comes down to it? And also, like, the backup slot corner? Like, I'm really interested to see how they view him.
Yeah, I know it's not going to be, like, the top of the list for, you know, people excited about practice starting, but actually his reps are very interesting because you could make a case, like, yeah, you know, like you said, I mean, you got to have concerns about Hooker staying healthy. Like, you got to have a third safety ready. But can he just do the different reps and be fine and just be a movable piece? I mean, that'd be huge if he could. And you have to start with hashtag if healthy.
Coming up next, it's time for The Choice Is Yours here on Robbie and Rex Road. As always, we encourage your participation on our text line. We will do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
This. We all have choices to make. This. Like right now.
Come on.
It's The Choice Is Yours, built by Jared Companies. You have a choice. So when you have a need for site and utility work, fire protection, concrete and asphalt services, the choice is simple. It's Jared Companies. For more, visit JaredCompaniesInc.com.
Come on.
The choice is yours now on Robbie and Rex Road.
It is that time of the week. Time for The Choice Is Yours here on Robbie and Rex Road. Brought to you by Jarrett Companies, above and beyond industry standards. Jarrett Companies, Inc., the only company you need for site work, fire protection, paving, and concrete needs. Involving too many different contractors on a project can cause issues, discrepancies, and budget overruns. Jarrett Companies offers a wide range of services, including grading, excavation, drainage, underground utilities, and more. If you need an estimate, call 615-515-1270, JarrettCompaniesInc.com. That's J-A-R-R-E-T-T CompaniesInc.com. I am in the questions chair today. Gentlemen, would we like to begin with sports or non-sports?
Nick?
Let's go non-sports, Robbie.
All right, non-sports. In honor of, this will probably be the last time I do The Choice Is Yours, like the questions part of it, prior to becoming a father. So in honor of that, your best television dad in history. The best TV dad in history. And I can go first if you guys need some time to think about this.
Yeah, go ahead.
Mine, yeah, go ahead. 100% Red Foreman of That 70s Show. It's amazing. He is basically like my father in some ways. So I've enjoyed the parallels of watching that growing up. But Red Foreman is the greatest television dad in history. There's many different options that I thought of. I'm a big fan of Sanford and Son. Back in the day, there's a lot of different ways you can go with it, but Red Foreman, the greatest television dad in history.
You know, my thoughts did go to Little House on the Prairie and Charles Ingalls.
There we go. Yes,
dad of Laura Ingalls Wilder, so I can date myself. But I think I gotta go Costanza's dad. I mean, come on,
that's good.
I mean, absolute gold every time he's on the screen.
Even I've seen, like, some of my TikTok feed, Joe, has been outtakes of Costanza's dad on the set. It's just golden.
The late, great Jerry Stiller. Jerry Stiller, baby. Ben Stiller's dad in real life. God, unbelievable.
Just great. Nick Kieser, your best television dad of all time.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with Danny Tanner from Full House.
Okay.
That was something I watched growing up, and he was always a good father figure for his kids in that show. And he was someone that had a good personality, was always an unwavering human being, especially as an actor. So I'm going to go Danny Tanner. He was quite the character on Full House.
I got a couple of different votes on the text line for Andy Griffith. I also thought about that, Joe. But
yeah, sure.
I'm going the opposite of Andy Griffith and going Red Foreman. It just cusses people out. Tells him to leave his house.
Just make sure that your feet are in the right place.
You got to make sure your feet are properly positioned. All right, to sports. Who has more yards receiving this season? DeAndre Hopkins, Michael Pittman Jr., or Calvin Ridley? I'm keeping it in the AFC South. DeAndre Hopkins, Michael Pittman Jr. in Indianapolis, or Calvin Ridley? Who has the most receiving yards?
Wow, that's a very good question.
Thank you.
I'm going to go Ridley. I just, you know, and I know that year off and who knows and all that, but I think he's a huge upgrade for them. And I think he's going to become Trevor Lawrence's favorite target. And I do think it'll be close with Hopkins. Pittman, it's just hard to I mean, they're going to have some empty calories this year, but, you know, I just, with the quarterback situation, I have no idea where that's going.
Yeah, I think Joe has a really good point here. I'm going to go Calvin Ridley too. I think Trevor Lawrence makes the step forward this year and looks more like an elite quarterback that he's coming into form as. And look, Justin Herbert, he just got paid. Hopefully he does that on his own team as well. But I think over here in the AFC South, looking at Lawrence, yeah, I think it's fair to say Calvin Ridley could have a pretty damn good year. So I'm going to go Calvin Ridley.
I'm going D-Hop. I don't trust Calvin Ridley to stay healthy, and he's about a year off at this point. So I'm going to go Hopkins. Pittman, I do trust to be healthy. Pittman has never really been like the big play guy. Like he had 99 catches last year for 925 yards. So that's 9.3 a catch. Like I think that he'll get a lot of catches. I don't know that he's going to be like the big play guy down the field. So I feel great about him being healthy. I will go Hopkins. I think Hopkins is going to have right around 1,100 yards this year for the Titans. And I would choose Ridley, but I don't trust Ridley to stay healthy. And I didn't trust Ridley to stay healthy before the 1 year off. I certainly don't trust it now. So I'm going D-Hop. Titans Homer, WHMR.
That's right. Hashtag if healthy applies to this one for sure. No, I can see it. I mean, if Hopkins has 1,100 yards this year, that's a number the Titans would gladly take right now. That probably means pretty good things.
I would say that means very good things. All right, back to non-sports. Your all-time favorite cartoon. Your all-time favorite cartoon. I'm reaching in the depths of television today, going TV Dad and your all-time favorite cartoon.
Okay, so I'll go ahead right now.
Okay.
Because, you know, Nick gave the heartfelt answer on TV Dad, and there are a lot of possibilities there for me, but I just got to go Beavis and Butthead. I'm going Beavis and Butthead and Costanza's dad.
Beavis and Butthead and Costanza's dad. I mean,
so many great memories.
I mean, I got to say, I'm a little bit disappointed in you that the opportunity for Foghorn Leghorn was right there, and you just didn't take it. We could have gone Brian Kelly, Foghorn Leghorn all over again.
It's got to be natural. Yeah, that is a great cartoon. I love all those. All the Warner Brothers.
Yes. Nick, is your favorite cartoon of all time?
Well, growing up with three brothers, I think the fair answer is going to be SpongeBob.
Okay.
So we watched that's consistently. Fine. Now, I would say my more mature version, I would go The Simpsons, because that was something I watched as I got a little older.
Nothing says maturity like The Simpsons.
Well, just
just ask Mingan.
With my brothers, as we got older, I think around middle school, we transitioned over to that a little bit. But also, I watched Family Guy in high school a lot. I watched a lot of cartoons.
Yeah.
A lot of cartoons. But I'm going to go SpongeBob, because that's just the OG answer, obviously.
I will say, like,
those are great ones.
Late 90s, early 2000s Cartoon Network. Maybe like peak television. I loved it growing up. So there's a lot. Whether it was Dexter's Laboratory, loved that show growing up. Johnny Bravo, which is kind of weird looking back on it now for some of the things that are going on there. I think my answer is just classic Bugs Bunny. I was a big Bugs Bunny guy growing up, Rex Road. It's kind of a boring answer, but that would be my favorite cartoon of all time.
No, hey, that's not a wrong answer at all. Those are great. I mean, look, I thought about Scooby-Doo. I mean, I don't think I ever got more excited in my life than when Scooby-Doo came out when I was like four. I do want an underrated shout-out on this along these lines. Ren and Stimpy. For people who never saw Ren and Stimpy, it was kind of the precursor to some of these cartoons that we know better now.
Tom and Jerry's a good one, too.
Tom and Jerry's a good one. Yeah. He-Man.
The excessive 1950s violence in those cartoons is really amazing.
All right, back to sports. Who is the best player at their sport in the entire world? Who is the best player at their sport on the planet as we sit here today, July 26th?
Then this is team sports or no?
We'll go team sports to make it non-individual. The best player, team sport, in the world as we sit here today. I can go first as you guys need some time to think about it. There are several different ways that you could go here. I think Shohei Ohtani, who we talked about earlier, is definitely in the mix for this conversation. And to me, I think he might be number two on the list. I'm going to go McDavid. I'll go Connor McDavid. I don't feel great about that answer just because the winning has not really come along with it in postseason. But like, he's so much more dominant than anybody else in the league, that I think I'm going to go with him. But, I mean, I thought about Mahomes. I thought about Otani, but I think I'm going McDavid.
Yeah, I'm going to go. Mahomes is mine. He's the best player at the most important position, and obviously in this country, the biggest, most important team sport. That doesn't mean you have to go that way, but it's incredibly hard to be a decent quarterback, to be an NFL quarterback, to be a great quarterback, an elite generational quarterback, and he's in the middle of it right now.
I think it's a good guess. Nick Kieser, your best team sport athlete. And as we sit here today, July 26th.
McDavid was a good answer. I liked that. If it was about 10 years ago, I'd probably go Sidney Crosby maybe. I tell you what, I think I'm going to go Patrick Mahomes. I think he's been a dominant force in the NFL. I think at some point in time he'll be up in the running to talk about maybe who the GOAT could possibly be one day. He's already had a Hall of Fame career, if you ask me. He's done a really good job. He's been a threat to go after. He's had the target on his back, I would say, the entire time that he's been a starting quarterback in the NFL. So I would go Patrick Mahomes. I think an honorable mention for me is also Messi, because he's also led his own country to a World Cup. He's also now joined the MLS team here in Miami, but also just the amount of weight that he carries in soccer around the globe is tremendous. So he would be my honorable mention as well.
Joe, none of us picked the basketball player, which is typically where these discussions go.
Well, that's the interesting thing. Like, right now, I think you could still make the case for, like, KD if you wanted to. You can make the case for Giannis. No love for the Joker, but it's not as clear-cut as it often is.
No, I mean, for a while, it was like, oh, it's LeBron. Cool. Like, that's what it is.
And he's still, like, top 10.
He's still, it's not quite the same anymore. We got a lot of comments on the different cartoons on the text line. G.I. Joe thrown out there. Maybe you could have gone that way if you're G.I. Joe.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. There's another reboot of that coming out.
A lot of votes for that. A lot of votes for TV dads on the text line. Keep them coming. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. This has been The Choice Is Yours, presented by Jarrett Companies, above and beyond industry standards. Jarrett Companies, Inc. offers a wide range of services, including grading, excavation, drainage, underground utilities, fire sprinkler, fire alarm, asphalt paving, and more. If you need an estimate, call today at 615-515-1270, or you can visit JarrettCompaniesInc.com. That's J-A-R-R-E-T-T CompaniesInc.com. Coming up next, we'll take more of your thoughts on our text line, and we will get to Rand Carthon, Titans General Manager, live press conference coming up at 8:50 as well. Looking forward to that coming up. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. The Game Summer Ticket Tour is headed to Homegrown Tap Room and Kitchen, located at 2720 Old Lebanon Road, this Friday afternoon from 2 to 6. Come eat, drink, hang, and leave with a pair of free sounds tickets, Preds, Big Machine Music Grand Prix, or concert tickets. Also, your chance to get signed up for the grand prize, which is Titans tickets, Preds tickets in the 501 Club, and a two-night stay at Opryland Hotel with access to Soundwaves. Black Tie Moving delivers the Game Summer Ticket Tour. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com/tour. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad, Nick Kieser here with you on this Wednesday morning. Rand Carthon speaking here in just a couple of minutes as the Titans open up training camp on the field today. So looking forward to that. We will carry that press conference live right here on Robbie and Rexroad. Joe, very quickly before we get to that, what do you make of Jim Harbaugh potentially facing a 4-game suspension in college football, basically due to some recruiting investigations?
Yeah, that's that is significant. It seems like it's just sort of him being difficult, right, with some of the stuff that happened previously. But yep. The good thing for Michigan is their schedule is incredibly softer in that time, so they'll be okay.
Michigan schedule loaded up as normal. East Carolina, UNLV, Bowling Green, and Rutgers, the first 4 games for Michigan that he would miss there.
My gosh. I mean, this is the thing. I'm hoping, and I know sometimes contracts run out or whatever, but I'm hoping the 12-team playoff actually gets some of these teams scheduling better non-league. You can lose a game or two now. Come on.
I'm trying to think. Like, it's not a great non-conference year. I mean, Texas plays Alabama. But I'm looking like Georgia's schedule is awful. Tennessee's schedule is not great in the non-conference. You know, Michigan really never plays anybody non-conference, so just kind of is what it is.
And they used to.
I know.
And they used to.
It's just disappointing.
No, it's very disappointing. No, I mean it needs to get better. It does. There are not a lot of attractive options out there.
But hey, Vanderbilt and Hawaii coming up here in about a month. Is it a month from today? I need to go look.
I think you may be right. Week zero. I think it is. Exactly.
I believe it's a month from today. So a month from today, we're talking about college football, Joe Rexroad. I like it.
I mean, that is great. And that's the thing. I know today it's like the first practice of training camp, which is great. And that's fine. It's a certain level of football excitement, but actual football 1 month, that's exciting.
That is exciting. And Vanderbilt opening up fall camp today officially. The Titans opening up training camp here today. Tennessee will be opening up fall camp here in the next few days and weeks. So football time is right around the corner here in Nashville. Rand Carthon scheduled to speak to the media coming up here in just a minute. So we're going to carry that press conference live for you whenever he steps to the podium here. But it'll be a really interesting first day of training camp today. I'm interested to see how do the quarterbacks do. That's probably going to be the main thing we talk about. When does DeAndre Hopkins get out there? What does Harold Landry look like? But it looks like Rand Carthon is up at the podium now. So here is Titans general manager Rand Carthon live from St. Thomas Sports.
Just want to kick it off and thank everyone for being here this morning. It's the first day of real work, first day of, really why we're all here. Super excited to get this thing started. It's been a long off season, nonstop, rolling for us ever since we got here. And now that we got all 91 guys here and our full coaching staff here, it's fun. We met with the team yesterday and, the way these guys showed up and the way they handled the conditioning tests, each and every player shows their commitment to not only their teammates, but our organization and the vision that Mike has. Before we kick off, something that I haven't done yet that I want to take the time to do is thank the scouting staff. We get us three up here, we get a lot of the credit for things and a lot of the hate for some things. But we have a tremendous staff. We have men and women that give us their all, and they help make our jobs easy when it comes to making decisions. So I want to thank Vin Marino. Vin's done a really good job for us. I refer to all of us as the odd couple, with Vin. And Vin is a strong and solid voice for us when it comes to player values and getting these contracts done. So I want to thank Vin, Brian Gardner, John Salgi, Kevin Turks, Mike Bonney, Dale Thompson, Brandon Taylor, Bryce Wasserman, Casey Callahan, Patrick Calloway, TJ Early, Matt Miller, Tom Roth, Wes Slay, Max Curtis, Rob Ritterer, Patrick Wu, Corey Cooper, Michael Johnson, Adam Bondi, Matt Emerito, and we also have three new additions. Sarah Bailey, who will be our director of football research and development. So she'll be working with Chad. Allie Archer, who will be our Amy Adams Strunk Women in Sports intern. And then we have former Titan Kalen Reed here doing the Nunn Wooten internship. And last but not least for me is Max Curtis. Max is he's been my right hand ever since I got here. He's helped keep me organized from a life standpoint, from a work standpoint, and we're looking to grow Max's role, not only in, helping me and assisting me, but growing him in terms of his evaluations as a scout. And then finally, these two knuckleheads to my left and right, Chad, whom you guys have met, and Anthony Robinson, who you guys will get to know here shortly. I have history with Anthony. We started our careers together in Atlanta. So I was super pleased and excited to be able to get him and steal him from Atlanta. And then you guys know my affinity for Chad and what he brings. So with that, we'll kick it off. So like we said, Sarah will be leading our research and development, a.k.a. analytics. She'll be leading that for us and talking about some of the things that, when we first met, when Chad met with you guys, some of the things just in terms of creating models, that allow us, that gives us another way to evaluate players. Chad, you can kind of go into a little bit more specific, but she'll be adding an extra component for us to make sure we're seeing these players the right way.
Yeah, I think we're building a foundation right now, in that department. And the most important piece of that foundation is the people. And we had an opportunity to check around the league and get recommendations for that role through the contacts that we had. And Sarah came highly recommended. I mean, she spent a little over 5 years with the Los Angeles Rams. As you know, they won the Super Bowl there. She was a Division I track athlete. She's got an undergraduate degree in mathematics, a master's degree in statistics. And when she came in here and through her interview process, she just she knocked it out of the park. She was really, really, really dynamic, very smart. And I know she's going to be a major asset to us moving forward. And I feel really good about where we are heading. Now, this department is going to continue to grow. We got a plan on how we're going to build this out. And it'll be under Sarah's leadership, and also, obviously, I'll be very involved in there as well.
How do you want to make sure and use analytics? Is it just, across the board, helping identify people for ready lists during the season, identify guys for the draft and through the free agency and on the field as well?
All of the above. We're going to use it. And I mean, Sarah and I and Allie's coming in to help us a little bit too. We're going to be creating tools. It's a tool that we're going to use to help with the coaching staff, to help with the personnel staff, help with the salary cap, sports science, medical. We're just creating tools and to help us to make better decisions, more informed decisions. Like I said, it's going to be a process. We do have some tools in place, and we'll continue to build upon those.
Rand, what was the process like in your mind in acquiring DeAndre Hopkins, and how did you finally get the word he was coming to play?
It was a long date. It was a month-long date. Like you guys, I'm pretty sure you guys know, we brought him in for the visit, which I felt went really well. And, it was – like I said, it was just a long date. And while we're on it, it was from top to bottom. It wasn't just us and personnel. It wasn't just Mike with the coaches. But we had help throughout the building. Jahari Matthews, Amy, Tina Tuggle, everybody played a part in getting him here, right? Because it wasn't just making sure DeAndre knew that this was the best place. It was also making his family know that this was the best place. So we didn't only recruit him, we recruited his family. So when he came in and he had his family here with him, we made sure they got to see what the city of Nashville had to offer, because they're going to be more involved with the city as opposed to him. And so we rolled it out and let them see. And so, thank you to those people that I mentioned, and thank you to the city of Nashville for stepping up and showing out for us.
We haven't seen a ton of guys in recent years that are making big impact. What makes you know or feel anyway that DeAndre Hopkins can be the guy that makes that big impact?
Well, I mean, again, and it all comes down to the player and their wiring, and I think Hop is made of all the right stuff. I know a couple guys that trained with him, and so that's a part of it, using your contacts. And each and every one of those guys were like, this dude still has it, and now we hope we get to see that. And I believe that we will. I think you guys saw, when you met with him yesterday, his laser focus and where he's at. And I think he feels he has something to prove. I mean, I think we have a roster that will compete. Again, it all starts today, on the field. And something I kind of said from the get-go, we don't have to set the 53 until, September. So we'll continue to work, and continue to, look to add players. We've already brought players in for workouts and tryouts that, we identified that can help, make a competitive roster. And that's what we're always looking to do, is build a competitive roster. So we are where we are now, but we're not done. Well, that's just a part of it. You got to kind of deal with what you're dealt. When MPF's, suspension came, we felt like we've have guys here that can step in and compete. And again, it's all about creating competition at every position, you know. So we'll continue to look, you know, at that spot, and hopefully our guys here step up, you know. Again, it's about building, you know, the best 53 that's going to give us a chance to win every week.
What do you think is your long-term span on that situation? I'm going to keep it work out
long. Yeah, I mean, we brought George in to get a look at him, and that was the extent of it, you know. And
sorry, what do you think Jamarco?
I mean, Jamarco's played a lot of ball in this league. He has versatility, which is, you know, key for the O-line. You know, the name of the game is getting the best, you know, 7 to 8 guys active on game day that could do a bunch of things for you. So, you know, Jamarco's been in there some, playing some right tackle, and so we're confident in him.
Anthony, what's your philosophy of scouting? How do you evaluate your scouts? What do you most want?
I think the first thing is you want guys that like playing football, right? And the first thing for us is the people. You know, they're football players, they're people. And we want to make sure that we're bringing in the right people that have the right football character, what we're trying to build here in our culture and our organization.
How would you, Anthony, describe the relationship with Ram before you got here, and what's the process been like in kind of getting up to speed with this roster while continuing to do your job with the players throughout the league?
Yeah, so like Rand said before, we started together in Atlanta back in 2008. We actually walked in the building together. And from there, we just developed a relationship. You know, our families are close. You know, his daughters grew up with my daughters. You know, so we've kept that bond throughout, you know, the change. You know, I've been in Atlanta the entire time. He's, you know, been a few stops before getting here. But we've made a conscious effort to maintain that relationship. And I think when you're coming into an organization and you're coming in new, you want to bring in people that you trust, going to be able to do the job, you know, execute the vision. And, of course, it helps when you have that friendship and that, you know, that relationship.
Chad, is there anything in terms of maybe analytically speaking in terms of DeAndre that maybe you guys saw, you know, last year that you like particularly that said maybe he's still at a highly productive level?
Yeah, I think it's important, you know, with my background with the scouting and also cap and analytics, like it, all of it goes into the decision making. And I think it's important that we all understand it all goes back to the tape. That's where it all starts and that's where it all ends. And Hop is a proven player in this league. We all know that. Of course, yeah, we looked at the analytics. I had Sarah run analytics on him and what that looked like and how what his rim probability is on the field and, you know, how productive he is. And we looked at the GPS and all the things that go with it. Yeah, sure, that's all part of the process. But at the end of the day, we get together with as scouts. We evaluate the tape. We get with Coach Mike and his staff. You know, we're really excited to have him here. I mean, he's a great player. When he was out there last year, for the time he was out there, he's still making plays. He has a lot of ability. He's going to continue to do good things for us. We're excited to have him.
Hold on real quick. You guys can ask Chad scouting questions too. He's not just analytics. And computer. He can answer the scouting questions too.
What's the season look like for you as far as a scouting standpoint as you're working with the group?
Well, that is my foundation, is scouting. I was very fortunate to come from a scout-driven organization in Green Bay. You talk around the league, many people will tell you that's probably one of the best scouting organizations in the National Football League. You look how many general managers that you produced since Ron Wolf worked for all those guys, John Schneider to John Dorsey to Reggie McKenzie, you know, with Brian, you know, Ted Thompson is a huge mentor of mine, Russ Ball on the cap side. Come from a great organization, a great foundation, and that is the foundation to why Rand brought me in adding these other pieces. But as far as my fall, you know, the way that's going to look or my role, it's a really great thing that I have Vin here. Vin's a seasoned veteran. I really trust him. He knows the cap inside and out. He's probably forgotten more cap than I even know. I have someone I can trust, as well as having Sarah Bailey here to be able to lead a department on the analytics side. So I'm really excited to have her. So that'll free me up to allow me to go out in the fall and evaluate prospects. So I just told A-Rob, hey, just tell me who you want me to go see, and I'll go see him and give my evaluation. So I'm excited about being able to do that as well.
Could you talk to Derek about what went on in that running back summit Zoom thing and just kind of how much have you been following the talk around the league?
Yeah, no, that's none of my business. you know, I haven't talked to Derek, you know, about that. You know, as a former running back, I'm biased. I know Chad is a former running back. He's biased as well. You know, I mean, it's something that, you know, those players are going to have to continue to do whatever it is they do or they're doing to figure out what's best for them. But to answer your question, I hadn't talked to Derek about it.
How do you feel about the depth of this team,
man? I mean, again, I feel like for where we are right now, I think we have quality depth, you know, all the way around. But, you know, like I'll continue to say, we're going to always continue to look to improve it and always continue to look to add competition at each and every spot. Yeah, I don't think we're going in at a mind frame of, you know, let's see what position X has, you know, for the first week, and if it's not there, then let's move on. I think some of these young guys that have come in, I think they've earned, you know, the opportunity to compete and show what they have, and we know that that's going to be, you know, a process. Some of these, you know, kids, this is their first time around. You know, none of these rookies have ever been in full pads in an NFL setting, so that'll work itself out. And again, you know, with A-Rob, with Chad, and, you know, our whole staff, we're going to continue to monitor, you know, players as they come free. And again, we have the 53-man roster cut down, which is going to, you know, be a wild and crazy time, you know, with all those players coming free and take advantage of our order and the claim.
I know it's early, but with the third quarterback situation, weighing that against a sixth receiver or a fifth safety or whatnot, how tough is it to – weigh that value, you know, for some of those final.
I don't think it's tough. I think it's one of those things where, you know, I think every team in the league, because it's a new rule, I think every team in the league is going to weigh that, you know, and it's a puzzle. It's playing with pieces. You know, one thing I learned from Kyle Shanahan, it's not always a one-for-one. You know, you're not going to cut a receiver for a receiver. You know, adding a receiver may cost you a DB or it may cost you a D lineman. You know, our job is to put the best 53. And not necessarily we have to have X amount at this position. So we're going to build the best 53 and just go from there.
What changed in terms of going back to Kevin Byard and getting him to rework his deal in order to help bring DeAndre Hopkins on board?
I think KB is the consummate pro. You guys know KB, you know, better than I have because you've been around him a lot longer. When I think of KB, I think of, you know, just professionalism, a guy who puts his team first. A guy that's all about his team, and we're very appreciative of his willingness to work with us, you know, to restructure his deal that gives us that gave us the space and room to sign Hop.
Ryan, last year, obviously, an important year, but this organization won a lot of games in recent years. You basically turned over about half the roster. Do you view this as kind of a total reset of that, or how did you balance putting your stamp on the roster versus
Well, again, you know, it wasn't just myself. Mike's my partner. You know, we do everything together. You know, there won't be a player that we bring in that we're all in agreement on, you know, that can help us. Again, I've always said, like, I feel like I'm in a very unique position coming in as a first-time GM and having someone as established as Mike, you know, in here already. So it's a culture and what it means to be a Titan, what it looks like. You know, and for me and these guys, because we're all new, we're just coming in following the blueprint, you know, knowing what it is that we're looking for, which makes it easy. You know, we have, you know, vets at key spots, you know, that have been very productive, you know, in this league. And, you know, we're just not in the business of giving away good football players. It's no different from any other player. Improve. You know, improve, play fast, you know, and be ready when your name is called. It's really as simple as that. We're not putting any more pressure on Will than we would put on, you know, Peter or, you know, anyone else, you know, for that matter. It's the name of the game is coming in, being able to play fast, execute your assignment, and do it to the best of your ability.
And when it comes to the Hassan Haskins situation, you guys let that everything play out legally before any kind of a decision is made, or can you make any kind of decision before, you know, if you feel like you have enough information?
I think as a whole, as an organization, You know, we have our core philosophy and beliefs, and it's a, you know, situation that we take very, very seriously. But also, you know, we have to let due process run its course, and we have to gather, you know, all the facts. You know, it's not as, you know, we're playing with people's lives here, you know, and so in order to do so, I feel like we, you know, have to have all the facts before we make a decision, and that's our approach. You know, we've been in contact with Hassan, you know, throughout this process, and, you know, we'll continue to let the process run its course, and from there we'll make a decision. Thank you.
Thank you. All righty, that was Titans general manager Rand Carthon at the podium. That does it for us on Robbie and Rex Road. The Chase McCabe Show up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.